Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I am unashamed. What about you?
So I told y'all the story about me trying to get this cameraman from when they did the Yeti movie. I told him, you know, he needed to make the move. Let's step up. I gave him a great illustration of being married to Jesus, but as a cameraman, he's been dating his girlfriend for 5 years. So I'm like, drop the camera and experience the magic. Well, the next thing I know is I realized I've just said this in front of a million people on the podcast. So we have
somebody that may know her. In fact, I think she watches sometimes. So,
yeah, so we do a dinner scene, you know, after the podcast. That was their last scene, you know.
Right.
And I said, hey, yeah, you know, great job. I just want you to know that you're on the clock. Because that story, even though I didn't plan on it, I told your story. He said, well, did you use my name? I said, pretty sure I did. So she could possibly put the pieces together, but doesn't matter. It's happened now. He said, was there any way we can, you know, go back and take that out? And I was like, no, now you're getting back into the same problem why I gave the speech. I said, all you need to know as a matter of importance is you're on the clock. You have 48 hours.
Make your decision. I mean, you don't have to marry her, but it's going to be out there that you got a commitment problem.
I would try to get in there before it airs.
That's right.
And let's have a talk.
That's right. At least tell her that you've thought about it now or something, you know.
You know, I actually felt bad about it, you know, on the way down there because I thought, boy, that guy, it's fixed to get real.
He couldn't even eat lunch. You had him so shook up.
Nausea set in. But I noticed later he was coming. I think he really realized I got commitment issues.
Well, it's funny.
You have to remember, you were suggesting no more than the Bible says about male and female. And they unite with one another. They become one flesh, and they are married, and it's all legal before God.
Do you know what came out
There's no sin there.
Yeah.
You weren't inviting him to sin at all.
And what came out of that conversation was his faith. Now, he brought it up, you know. And I was impressed. But then I was more sure than ever that this needs to happen.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes I think people just need a little nudging.
Well, you had the information that he had dated her for 5 years. A guy like Dan, who works for us, I mean, about the most trustworthy individual you ever want to run across, but he doesn't date at all. He's not interested in marrying. So, you know, so be it.
And
you don't have to marry.
No.
No, but look, what I did last night.
Jesus said because of the kingdom, even if you say, you know what, like the Apostle Paul, he says, you know, I think I'll just forego marriage because of the present.
Well, I have a couple of single friends that are, you know, in their 60s and 70s, and they never married. They're good, solid Christian guys. They just had the gift of celibacy. I mean, Paul called it a gift. I mean,
well,
he said, I wish you had the gift I have. So
dating, or the lack thereof, it can be stressful, especially when you're a teenager. And I mean, it's like it took me a year dating my future wife, which I did marry, for me to even entertain the idea that she might continue this, which was
also Paul made it clear, if you want her to marry, you can do so. But he did say those who marry will face, I'm quoting directly 1 Corinthians.
Oh, you love this verse.
Well, I just make a point that those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. Yeah. He was just saying, if you travel alone, it's cheaper, and it's.
I told our cameraman trouble, that. You know?
Well, and he said that during a time of great persecution too. So, that's
but true. I told him that. I was like, look, you're trying to get all the I's dotted and the T's crossed before you get married. That's right. Never going to happen. Right. And guess what? When you get married, they're still going to be there. But the difference is you're doing it together.
Well, I always had a theory that we all married young. It's just kind of what we all did. I mean, I think Jeff was the oldest one, and he was like 21 or 2. But so we kind of grew up together. And, you know, Lisa and I had issues and all that. But we kind of learned it as we did together. And you and Mom were the same way.
Yeah, we had different situations.
Because my theory always has been, and a lot of people wait a long time, the problem with that is, and that's, I mean, look, people do whatever they want to, but the problem with it is, as you build up a lot of your own habits and your own way of looking at things, and so then all of a sudden you merge in with this other person, and, you know, that's going to be rocky water, too. I mean, it's just a way.
Well, the longer you wait.
And the children come, and we're all under one roof. Well, yeah. It's a challenge. It's a
what challenge. I've noticed is the longer you wait, the more baggage you acquire
that's right.
and bring to,
yeah.
to
the table. That's right.
But
I think a lot of them look at the financial end of it and say, well, you know,
if
I don't
thing.
Make the commitment, there's no way I'll ever get in a financial bind over this in case somebody pulls some stunt, including me.
Yeah.
I pull one or she pulls one, and then we got to go to court and all that.
Yeah.
And so they're just free riding it, just saying, well, you know.
And that's normal, Phil. Look, my in-laws, I mean, they've grown to love me. But the reason they said no at first is because when he asked the question, well, what are you going to do for a living? Like, not a whole lot.
Yeah, that's not very conducive with in-laws.
I said, I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to trust God, and we'll make
my
it.
My goal not is a, to be the president a of a bank, or my goal is to, you know.
I want
to
be a doctor.
I said, I'm going to be a fisherman and a hunter and figure it out. And that was the wrong answer.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was the truth, and it worked out, and
well, look at you now. You're just quite the but success story.
I was going to make a point that, you know, I have trouble. I mean, parenting is tough no matter what. But I had more trouble, you know, with my daughter or now daughter since, you know, Karina from Nicaragua has become part of our family. But I do feel like they're in their teenage years. I'm like, I need to spend more time with them because I spent way more time with my sons. I mean, I take them hunting or fishing. I mean, I tried that with my daughter, but she just she didn't want to do it.
Yep.
So I'm like, well, then when we start having conversations, you know, the things she likes, I don't even know what she's talking about. So, and we do, you know, things. We go on trips, we play cards. But I told her a couple weeks ago, we were in Austin, I was like, I need to take you on a date. Because I got to thinking, she's at that time where she's, you know, she's interested in dating. But I thought, well, I want to show her how you should be treated.
Yep.
And even though it's a daddy-daughter date, so she didn't really say anything. She just kind of was like, hmm. So I thought, well, she didn't like that idea. So last night, I mean, look, I have been on a run. We've been filming. We've been doing things. We've duck hunted for days. I was tired last night, and I woke up. Well, I took a nap, and when I woke up, she was like, are you ready to go on our date tonight? And I said, playing cards? She's like, no, I was thinking something a little more elaborate, like a restaurant. Of course, I don't really like going to restaurants. And I said, what do you got in mind? And she picked a place that I do like. And so it was on the other side of Monroe. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, because I'm the one that brought it up. And for whatever reason, she's pursuing that.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was just me and her, but here come her and Karina, they got all dressed up, you know, and I was kind of looking.
I don't believe I ever took y'all to a restaurant.
No.
No, didn't. But that's okay. It would have got awkward for everyone involved.
Well, yeah.
We didn't miss it.
I do know how to socialize, and so plus you have to wear a mask going in. So here was the weird part. We pull up at this restaurant. It's packed. There was no parking places. Of course, it's mask required, and put the mask on. But I walked in, everybody, the place was
can you take packed. It off when you eat, or you have to lift
I
it?
Took mine off.
Yeah, you can.
Everyone else seemed to, I just didn't want to sit there
in
and
California,
stare.
In California, you have
if
to.
If you walk in and you didn't have a mask, or you did, and What's the diff when you finally get to eat?
It's not. There's no diff. I mean, in California, you have to put it on in between bites, is what somebody told me. I don't know if it's true or not.
But I want to say this. You know what was weird? Which I think Missy was a little disappointed because she wanted to go. But I'm like, nope, it's daddy-daughter thing. You know, have fun. But you know what? And I want to say this to our listeners. What shocked me, you know, we talked about life. And they, now we had fun and different things happen, you know, just things seem to happen to me that are really weird. But
we've all noted that.
There were some funny things about getting in the restaurant because we walked in and they went they knew who I was. I had a mask on. The guy said, Jace, we're full. I was like, okay. I said, we're out of here. And he said, however, give me a minute because he felt bad. I mean, I had been there once, you know.
And now he's fixing to lose money on you.
Well, and he knows.
And he knew how I was, and he was like, let's make this work. So the table they threw together was comical. But it worked, and we had fun, which made it part of the story. And we talked about life. We had a good time. I mean, I was thinking this happened. I mean, what happened was way better than I was anticipating. It was really good for future endeavors. I mean, I just think a good bond was formed. Mm-hmm. And so then I think what was cool, because then we were talking about she's going on a retreat this weekend. I was like, well, it's going to be cold. She was like, what? Because, you know, since you don't hunt, she didn't realize we have a major front coming in. You're going to freeze your rear end off out in the outdoors. Right. I was like, well, do you have any gloves? I was going through it. She's like, I don't have gloves. I was like, I'm going to go get you a pair of gloves now. So we wind up, you know, at one of these pharmacy stores. Believe it or not, they sell the best gloves I've ever bought. And they're like $5. They're awesome.
I bet they are. $5.
I wore them today because, look, I bought her 2 pair and I bought me 3 pair.
You're so sure about all that.
Well, man. They're women's gloves. But
did you wear them with your women coat you got from Russia?
Nobody has said a word to me in the duck blind and said, hey, Jace, you're wearing women's gloves. They're the warmest pair of gloves I've ever owned. I mean, I'm riding.
And they cost $5 at
$5.
How did you run up on this? Just, well, that's enough about dating.
No.
taking your daughter's date. Okay, we got it.
I was in the aisle.
Let's get into some meat.
Hang on. You said how to run up on them. I was going down the aisle picking up some medication at his pharmacy. And they had some gloves hanging there. And I thought, those things look warm. But I couldn't find a size that fit me because it said women's. So I thought, surely there are big women out here. And look, in the back, they had multi extra, extra large, which was about right.
You needed a woman with man hands.
That's they
sell. Remember Seinfeld man hands?
But I was going to tell you this because you want the spiritual side. So I'm going to tell you. Well, when I walked into this pharmacy, there were 2 African-American women behind the counter, and they were like, welcome, great to see you. And I was like, these people are excited. I said, I'm phenomenal, fantastic, and I love your cheer. And they both just kind of looked back. I was like, awesome. So when I get my gloves, I come up there and check out. Well, one of them, the younger one, said, Jace, is that you? I mean, I have a mask on. And I was like, yes. She's like, when you
going to... You're kind of sticking out, though, around the mask.
She said, when you going to get me on one of your TV shows or anything? Because nobody knows who I am. That was the line. I said,
it's kind of sad in a way.
I said, y'all have been so cheerful since I come in here, and now you've brought up something. Look, be careful what you wish for. There's a lot about being on TV that's not good. I said, but I will tell you this. I said, the next time you look in the mirror, you need to say, even though people may not know who I am, God knows who I am, and he made me a masterpiece. When I said that, the other woman said, praise Jesus. And I said, I'm just excited that y'all are excited despite all the chaos that's going on in our world. And the woman said, now, here, we're in a store now, and there are people in line, and they're listening to this conversation. And she said, well, I live by a rule, just love God. And I said, and what about one another? I said, people would look at us right now and say, what are y'all doing? We're just loving each other, loving life, talking about spiritual things. I just thought, now, this is a moment here in this store, and I'm, you know, getting to share this with my daughter, that it all started from spending quality time when I didn't really want to go out. But when I was driving home, I thought, this is the kind of stuff I want my daughter to see.
Good work, probably.
You should have told her to look in the mirror and say, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Yeah, I remember that.
Stuart Smalley. Let's take a break. So I noticed Martin was out the other day because we were doing the stuff with Yeti. And, of course, they have a podcast now, too, you know, at the Duck Call Room. But you made an observation about Martin. Do you remember what you said?
I noticed how his hair had basically disappeared.
Yes. Well, it was always thin, you know.
He's
when
a
he was
pretty young guy.
He's not
you
even 30
years
old.
Used to call him Horsehead, so I've never seen a bald horse.
Well, I do notice this.
He's a big, strong guy.
Martin has such a big head that when he lost that hair, it does look like the moon now when he comes by. He's still got a little bit hanging on the back of.
Not much.
Not much. He's kind of like Si. You know, Si has a skullet.
Yeah,
it's not a mullet. It's a skullet because you can see his skull. Mm. He's got the hair on the back.
That may go viral.
It may go. So what we need to tell Martin about is our sponsor. Maybe they need to get on. They need to sponsor the Duck Call Room. It's Keeps, and we've been talking about these guys for a long time because basically they help you keep your hair. Of course, Martin needs to really do something quick because he's in trouble.
Keep all five strands.
He better get there quickly. Basically, you go to their website. They ship everything directly to your door. So we want you to get started on this if you need it. It's Keeps, KEEPS.com/door. You get 50% off your first order for the hair loss treatment. So it's Keeps.com/door. So I got one question before we get into the text. Just an observation, so I want to know what y'all thought about it. So, I cut through by Si's house to come out here. I think I'm the only one that does it. And
no, I do it.
Oh, do you? So have you seen the pig that's there on the road on Carcass Lane? It's right when you first turn on there, right on the right.
I thought that was a beaver.
No, it's a pig. It's a hog.
It's a wild hog.
It's a wild hog. So look.
I thought that was a beaver. I looked and said, that's the biggest beaver I've ever seen
in my
life.
It was actually a pig.
Are you sure?
Have you seen it?
Positive.
Yeah,
I'm driving by there on the way home.
So here's my question about it. So it's been there over a week.
And nothing's touched it.
Nothing's touched it.
Well, that is weird.
Right up the road, the buzzards were all over something.
Because I thought it was a beaver.
Yeah.
I said to myself, not even the buzzards would
touch
that.
But I thought the same thing about this pig. Now, because it's gotten warm enough. I realize it's cold.
Oh, it can't be a pig. So you're either saying it's a hog. It's not a pig.
What's a hog?
It's a pig.
Like a wild hog. A young wild hog. That's what it is. I stopped and looked
at it. I'm thinking pig female, hog male is what.
I don't, it's a hairy hog is what it is. You look at
you're
it.
You're 100%. I've looked at it. I know what you're talking
not
about.
Not much. They haven't. He hasn't.
What I'm saying is, they put deer carcasses up and down that road, and the buzzards are there, and the worms are there, but nothing has touched this
carcass lake. Road. I don't know what the deal is with that.
But I did notice this.
But what is your point?
My question was, why is that the case? Why won't the buzzards
eat
the thing?
Well, we now have an identification issue. I thought it was because it was a beaver.
I'm going to take a picture of it today.
Chase, I know a hog from a beaver.
I do, too.
I'm younger. I have better eyes.
I would dad. It's you're going to see it's a hog. I'm going to take a picture of it. We'll show it to our audience.
Get close.
My question wasn't what it is. My question was, why won't anything eat it?
Yeah.
Is it just because
I don't have a good answer?
And I did notice one other observation. I don't see any carcasses on Carcass Lane this year. So does that mean the rednecks have quit killing deer, or have they found another place to?
They should find another way to dispose of them.
I hate it. It's just
instead of throwing them out on the side of the road.
Yeah,
yeah. It's hard for our viewers to get the idea, but it's like the longest straightaway
out here in
North Louisiana.
That's right.
It's just a long straightaway, and there's just usually dead deer carcasses, skeletons on both sides.
I mean,
of
some
the
years, 20, 30 of them along the way. All right, so that was just a question. We'll figure that out and catch you up. So we're going to do a couple of, or maybe if we get there, a couple of listener questions today, which I love these segments. And there was one that came to me. I didn't write his name down. I think it's Jeff. But he's asked some questions before. But so here's what he said. My wife and I were watching these ghost shows on TV where people see ghosts. And this raises a question to us about ghosts. And I'm looking for some sort of Bible-based answer. It says, one, what are ghosts and why are they still here? And number two, why are there just a few of them?
and what keeps them here? That was his question. So I thought it was interesting because
why is there just a few of them?
Well, that's what he asked. In other words, he's thinking, why doesn't everybody, if they're around, why doesn't everybody see
God? Well, he's assuming there are, you know, ghosts as he's calling it. I mean, I've said many times, I believe in at least one.
The Holy One?
Yeah. That's where I was going with that. So I do believe in ghosts.
So there are, there are some biblical, so I did a little search. A I looked into it.
I hadn't read your notes.
So there's two instances where the disciples thought Jesus was a ghost.
Okay, I remember that. When he said, well, but Jesus said, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.
Exactly, which, that tells me that Jesus didn't say, oh, you idiots, there's no ghost. He confirmed, in my mind, he confirmed.
No doubt. That was your best point.
Yeah, I think that's a
confirmation. Where is that? We need to.
So that's in Luke 24.
Yeah, Luke 20. That's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Depending on your translation, because mine says Jesus had just been raised from the dead, and he says, "Peace be with you," which he said that three times. Right. So because, you know, seeing dead people, which once again another Hollywood movie. Where did they get that idea from? You know, I see dead people.
Yeah.
Well, biblically speaking, you would have to believe not only in the miraculous. Ephesians 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and you followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient.
Right.
So biblically speaking, there are evil spirits. Yep. And seems to be one kingpin, Satan himself.
Right.
A lot of people have trouble dealing with that part of Christianity. In other words, there is a God of heaven, the God of love, he created all things, including the evil ones.
Right.
But they just have a difficult time believing, seeing the unseen. You mentioned the guy, the brother, wrote the book.
Yeah.
Seeing the unseen.
I brought a copy of it. To show the audience, I've mentioned this one before, this is the best book I've ever read about this subject, and Seeing the Unseen by Joe Beam. And it just kind of breaks down the sort of, like you just described, the sort of the hierarchy of evil. Because mostly, like you said, it's evil spirit is what you see. But I did a little bit of a, you know, what happens is, you know, these guys were speaking mostly to one another in Aramaic. That language was then translated into Greek. And then that's been translated into English. So, you know, sometimes you have to look at the original words. And I did find it interesting that the word that in Luke 24, the Greek word there is pneuma, which means spirit or wind, mm-hmm. which is interesting. You know, with Jesus, remember when Jesus talked about the spirit and wind, how they were similar?
Yep.
And then the word in the other time we hadn't talked about was when Jesus was walking across the Sea of Galilee. Remember that?
Yep.
And they were out there in the boat. They've been trying to make hay, but the wind is blowing like crazy. And they look up and they see Jesus walking on the water. And they said, look, he's a ghost. What's interesting is the Greek word there is phantasma, which we would call it a phantasm in English. And it's when the invisible becomes visible. That's what the word means. Mm-hmm. It's a different Greek word. So when they saw him walk across the thing, they were like, oh, my goodness, it's a phantasm, you know. They didn't know, but it's two different Greek words, but it's the same idea that it's something not physical. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he clarifies it in John 3. Jesus and Nicodemus, to tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can he be born again when he's old? Surely can he not enter a second time into his mother's womb? Now, here's the way Jesus straightens him out. I tell you the truth, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then he makes this point. Flesh gives birth to flesh, which is your human being.
Right.
But the Spirit gives birth to spirit. He's saying there's a difference between the natural and the spiritual. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. Then he compares it, like you said, Al, The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.
Yeah.
He's just saying, it's pretty simple. If you see very sinful, brutal behavior, you kind of can surmise that something is behind that.
That's what I've always thought. It's, you know, somebody goes into a school and kills 26 kids.
For no reason.
For no reason at all.
A lot of them, they never find a reason.
Right. And maybe. I'm thinking that person had to have had an evil spirit. I mean, there had to be a spirit of evil for you to even get there, you know?
Not a lot about mental illness in the Bible, but a whole lot about demons. I just lean toward looking at things demonic.
It's, well, you know,
it's,
this
it's throughout the whole Bible.
Well, you were talking about the dead hog. I mean, you had this story where Jesus cast the spirits out of the hog.
In Mark 5 that I just turned to?
Yeah.
I had no idea you were going there. Great minds think alike.
I mean, it's amazing how often that happens.
Well, you had said something about the hog, and I thought, well, maybe that hog, or I thought it was a beaver. I'm still...
But that text, you can read it, Al. I mean, it says they're there.
Well, I want to read that. Let's take a break. So, basically, there's this guy, and he's hanging out in the graveyard, which I think, by the way, all your Hollywood movies and stuff, there it is again.
This is where they get all
the
stuff.
This is where they get all of it.
You know, when the guy...
graveyards are scary, you know, because dead bodies are there.
You remember the story in Acts with the woman following along, and they were taunting and... They were like, you know, they said who they were, and the legion. They said, "I am legion, for we are many."
That's right.
Well, all of a sudden, we it's a bad Hollywood movie.
Yeah,
but
it really happened.
That really happened. So, because
you know, Jesus said, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Because this guy, it said he couldn't be contained even with a chain. So this guy's a rough looking. I mean,
so you go on with the ghosts or the spirits of dead people?
Ghosts,
well, I don't know.
Winds, spirits.
I'm not sure.
Are you going with demons? As in,
I mean, the only ones I can read about for sure is that the apostles thought Jesus was a ghost.
Let me give you a true story that was real.
Oh no!
I walked up with one of the brothers, and a young woman was standing outside one of these rehab-type situations, and she was talking with the woman that runs it. So you have this one girl, I figure she's about 20, so she was talking to the lady that heads up the whole program. So the brother and I, we walked up there, and I was about, you know, like 10 feet away. And since they were talking,
is this a jail, a hospital?
It's like a rehab unit, you know, rooms in it. So I just walk up. I never said a word. I just walked up, had a Bible in my hand. I'd never seen this girl. She had never seen me before. We'd never seen each other in our life. So I just walk up, and I'm waiting on till they finish the conversation. I didn't want to just bust up in there since they were talking. She was kind of raising her voice. And when she turned around and saw me standing there, with the other brother, we were just standing there. I had my Bible. I didn't say a word. A scowl came on her face, and she got on me, and she started cursing me over some of the filthiest language you ever heard.
She didn't know who you were?
I'd never seen her before.
Well, she may have known who he was because he's famous.
Well, I don't know whether she knew who I was or not, but she was letting me have it. And I never spoke. I just sat there. And when she got done, she ran inside the building. Well, I walked in. The woman that heads up the thing said, "Whoa." Said, "I don't know what got into her, Phil, but boy, she's coming on at you." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Look." I said, "Here's a little text," and I gave her that Ephesians 4, "Be angry, but sin not." I said, "Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry." I showed her that. I said, "So don't feel bad about it." I said, "Do you think that girl would sit down with us and we could talk further?" And she said, "You want to talk to her after that cussing?" I said,
"Only that would wait."
I said, "Sure." I said, "She initiated it." I said, "See if you can track her down and see if she'll come in there." Now, listen to this true story. We walk in there. It's me, the brother, and this girl. Yep. She shows up. The girl that runs the thing said, she said she had talked to y'all. Well, when she sat down, she just continued the tirade. And I said, if you'll just stop a minute and let me show you something, you may change your mind about how evil I am. I said, won't you just give me a chance to share some good news with you? And she kept on and kept on. So finally she said, you ain't tell me that GT Bible, yeah, yeah. So she finally gets quiet, and I tell her that God loves her, and I love her. And I said, there's a way out of here. He died on a cross for you to remove all your sin. And I said, to bring you out from under the control of the evil one. And when I said that, she was seated at the table like she was seated like this. I was sitting across from her, and she was like right here. And when I said, you're doing what you're doing, and the reason you're cursing me is you're controlled by the evil one. But God's Spirit will get to you past that. And as soon as I said that, she screamed and slammed her head on the table. She just brought her head down on the table, and I'm like, ooh, that was quite the lick. She bounces her head off the table, and she shrieks like something you never heard, and it was kind of like projectile vomiting coming forth from her mouth as she left the room.
So she's vomiting on the way out.
When I said, you're doing what you're doing by the power of the evil one, and God's Spirit can heal you. That's when the head came down and she took off and throwing up. So she runs away. Well, the girl that was the receptionist seated out there come running in. She said, what in the world was all that about?
It's an exorcism.
I said, well, yeah, she said, that was a deliverance. I said, well, hopefully we'll see in a minute.
It was a deliverance of whatever she ate.
So 10 minutes goes by. She runs to the bathroom. 10 minutes goes by. She walks back in, and the first thing I noticed was that her countenance had changed. She started out, she was almost a different color from when I first saw her and all that. So she comes in, she's wiping her face like this with a towel, and she sits down, and in a meek voice, she said, can y'all help me? I said, we can help you.
Wow.
So I preach the gospel to her again, went through it again. She's quiet. And I said, I think some are coming down to my house tomorrow, some of y'all. I said, you can get with them if you want to. So the next day, when the woman who runs the thing came up in a couple of buses, they came down on the river, and they brought about 20 with them. Well, somebody, I just kind of saw them all standing there, but someone pulled on my shirt like that, and I looked down. She's a little bitty woman. And I looked at her, I said, are you that girl that we talked to last night? She said, yep. She said, I want you to take me to the river to baptize me. I said, well, get in line because a lot more. And look, the girl went on her way rejoicing as far as I know, but that's a true story.
That's an amazing story.
And it got my attention. It really did.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, first you take a curse and then you look at something and all of a sudden, projectile or whatever, the brother with me, Owens was with me, and when she ran out of the room, you know, with all that, he looked at me and he went, and I said lightly, demonic.
He was but like, you didn't know, you were just like, what is that?
I was guessing.
Yeah.
So,
well,
that's
I wanted
true
to read
story.
That's
now,
that's
here's
quite
the
story.
Thing, Al. How does just words from this book, how come someone goes from cursing and just vow, and all of a sudden, a meek little voice says, can you help me?
Well, it certainly exactly
looks
like.
It got my attention, I'll tell you that.
What we were talking about. Let's take another break.
By the way, I've never told very few people that story.
I had heard.
I've seen some more, but that's one that kind of came to my mind.
Since we're having idea day about the unseen world, here's a thought I've had before, but I don't think I've ever shared it with another person. But when you read Romans 8, of course, I'm taking some assumptions here, because you got to think, so what happens to the spirits of dead people? Now, when you read 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, God is bringing with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him.
And you know where their bodies are, the cemetery.
Well, right. But he doesn't talk about the people who are not in Jesus. Right? Now, that's there right. is a passage in the Gospels that says there'll be a resurrection.
John 5.
John 5 that we studied. There'll be a resurrection of the righteous and the wicked. So
everyone will be raised to face judgment, is what it says.
So you have the dead spirits, wherever they are, possibly some, like, because there's the story that we just read about the pigs. It all started, well, this guy was chained up, but he was in a graveyard. Uh-huh. And if you notice, there's a few other stories like that. So you're like, well, why are they hanging around graveyards? So it does seem to suggest, just by the backdrop,
there's a connection to the dead.
There is a connection to the dead. However, what I'm going to say is, when you start talking about demons, I think it's something different.
I do too. And so does Beam, by the way. He talks about
well,
that.
I didn't know what he thought. But here's why.
That's a different category.
Here's why I get that. Which, and there's a greater point here. You know, Romans 8, famous passage. You know, he shares the gospel of Jesus. Christ Jesus died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God. This is 8:34, mm-hmm. interceding for us. Then he says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So now we're going big picture. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine, nakedness, danger, sword. And then he says, we face death all day long, like sheep to be slaughtered. Then he says, and all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life. Well, then he says this, neither angels nor demons. And my point is, however the angels, when you do a study of that, so, just off the top of your head, be careful when you entertain strangers because you might entertain an angel. Where's that? Hebrews 1?
Mm, yep. It's Hebrews somewhere else.
In Hebrews 1. Also in Hebrews, it says, are not all angels ministering spirits to help those? So, okay, you have those. So, by association.
So good spirits, unseen, and bad spirits.
Well,
correct.
Because look, he said everything has categories, death nor life. Well, angels are demons. So you kind of have the opposite of the angel would be the demon. They just like death and life. But it's in the same, what would you call that, Al? It's in the same category?
Right.
Or present or future, because the category would be time here. Neither height nor depth, which is, that's why he's wording this in a way that makes me think that demons are not dead people.
No, I think they're fallen angels that crossed over with Satan. Or,
yeah, and they're out
and they
to
became
do harm.
Something different because of sin and evil.
I know this. Several places, there's millions of them. I mean, there's a lot. Yeah,
there's a
well,
lot.
And then you have 1 John 4. Whatever that means, you know, it says, be careful to test the spirits to see which one is from God.
Yeah.
Okay. If I ever recognize that I'm in a spirit multiple choice, but it's hard to. Now, a lot of people have different interpretations, and people, it always makes me nervous when people say to me, well, God told me this or God told me that, because I'm
but
like, how do you know it's God whispering
yep.
in your ear?
Then you run up on one of these shamans over in Africa.
Ooh,
you know, yeah. it's pretty, they say this happens all the time.
Well,
and the brother you were with when you saw this thing come out of the woods, I mean.
Yeah, I was just kind of like intrigued, you know, because Americans don't think about stuff like this. But
what did this thing look like?
Well, it looked like a ghillie suit. But not as nice as the ones we have, but it was like that.
It was just like he had it on?
Oh, fully. You couldn't even see him. You know, all I could see is his
eye. So it wasn't a creature. He was trying to look like
he was right. He was a person, but he was some kind of shaman. So he's coming down the.
What are you saying, shaman?
Shaman, yeah. Like a.
I've never heard that.
Didn't you say smoke was coming off of him somehow?
Oh, he had a thing with smoke, and he's dancing around coming down the street. And so I'm standing out there in the yard just looking at it, and I'm thinking, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen. So Isaac's wife comes out and says, oh, come back inside, Pastor Allen. You don't want to be out here. This is evil. You know, and I said, what is he doing? He said, well, he's trying to get people to give him money or he'll curse them. You know, like put a curse
on
them.
Now I'm out on that.
But that's, you know. So what I'm saying is, but they were like, don't even mess with that. So I, you know, I followed their lead and thought, well,
it's kind of like the voodoo people that, you know, they'll make a doll and they'll, oh, but, you know, so I don't know. It's hard for me to go down that road because I just.
Well, let me read you this story. This is, I think we've mentioned it before. This is in Acts 19. Said God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left them. So Paul had so much stuff radiated out of him, he was casting out demons, wasn't even there. So then it says some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. So they had a little racket going here. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, that's who these guys were, they're doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on him and overpowered all seven of them, and he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. And that has always got my attention because I thought, you know, you don't want to take this whole thing lightly because the evil is real. These boys took a beating.
I don't have a problem. I mean, I'm trying to remember what they told us when we went to school. I remember that. I wasn't paying attention. But
you know why? You were sleeping with your eyes open.
It's hard to do that, Al. You're acting like that's a bad thing. You have to train yourself. Well,
but it hurts you when you're trying to remember what somebody said. Let's take another break.
But I think I do remember there was a debate on whether demon possession happens today. Because was something about...
In my mind, no doubt about it.
I agree. And
you think so?
I do. And
do you remember the argument against was something about 1 Corinthians 13 when it was like when all things...
Yeah. Prophecies and cease and the tongues and all that.
But, you know, I think that's a stretch.
It is a stretch, and here's why. Because I think the evil one, Satan, who is the chief, and this is where Beam's book is so good. I mean, he's got his ways of being effective. In a culture like America, when everybody thinks everything's mental illness, you know, just take a pill, just whatever, it's not going to have as much effect as it would in some other place. So I think it's more a question about what he can do to do the most harm to people.
But let me ask you this.
Is what I think.
What about the verse that says, resist the evil one, he'll flee from you?
Yep.
So do you think before the cross that people had no choice or no aiding and abetting the demons, which is what I've always thought?
I would say the circumstances were far more dire before Jesus.
Well, I'm saying is I think he could attack someone, but when Jesus died and was buried and raised, I've always believed that he's now only going to attack somebody if they allow it.
Well, here's the other
thing. Do you think?
I think that's right. But here's what I do think. If you read the Old Testament, there's some stories in there. We talked about the witch at Endor and stuff like that. But you don't see a lot of this. It seems to be right around when Jesus came, when he was here, and then right after he left. I mean, obviously that's most of the Bible, but I'm saying that sort of activity, that evil that was seen to be everywhere and all these evil spirits. But remember, Satan was here actively engaged in the plan. He had a plot going against Jesus.
Well, and the answer, one of the things that the Hebrew writer mentions, Hebrews 2:14, since the children have flesh and blood, that's humanity, he too, Jesus, shared in their humanity, God becomes flesh, so that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. The point is, you have to believe in the spirit world, Al.
Correct.
Or you would look at that and say, well, what's he talking about? I mean, if the power of death is the devil's work, and here comes Jesus, and when he was resurrected, that's when Satan, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, even from death.
Right.
Well, you look at that, and you say, you know what? Spirit world or no spirit world, we read about it in the Bible, but I don't know how we're going to get out of here alive without the spirit world.
Well, it does say our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against
you mean right here in Ephesians 6?
Spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So he is attacking
the powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So he's saying this is heaven and earth flowing.
I mean, I feel like when I meet a kid,
and it's organized,
very organized
evil,
which is why
when I meet a kid with cancer, I mean, I didn't necessarily read this anywhere, but I'm just thinking, this is an evil attack on somebody that's innocent. Mm-hmm. That's just the way I think.
And look at the story of Job, and it would seem to be you're exactly right. I mean, the evil one was the one that was attacking him, and I mean, it was family killed, it was illnesses.
Well, he had disease.
Disease.
At least we have the source of evil, Satan,
right,
and the source of good,
right,
God, and I'm seeing both of them. During my stay on planet Earth, I've seen the ones who fear God and love their neighbor. I've seen them, and I've seen the ones who say no, they are satanic, and I mean they do things to Satan. They go around, and it's just a nightmare.
So the question,
murder, whatever it is, you know,
the question we can't answer that this man and his wife asked is these spirits, they don't leave, or do they come back? Now, the story in 1 Samuel 28, comes back.
Well, but I think they're confusing those demons with these spirits.
Well, it's true, but what I'm saying is that even with different categories, it's obvious that they're here, whether you call that a ghost or spirit-possessed
person. However, Al, we have the Holy Spirit.
We do.
And so this is like if Ghostbusters were real, which they're not. It was a TV show. If they would have run up on the actual Holy Ghost, they wouldn't have busted that. You know, the power, because it can raise. I mean, it was a silly show.
So you didn't need the guns with the thing. You just need the Holy Spirit.
But we watched that because you said, why do we do that? Because people have these questions. So they make movies to try to think, oh, this is how we
and there is
by the way, there
realm.
Is a, what do they call it, the Church of Satan, what's it called?
The satanic,
the worshipers, they all meet there. They're all in.
There's the Church of Satan. I mean, they bow down.
But do we believe in ghosts? Yes, at least one. And
do we believe in spirits? Yes.
I mean, if you bring up the story, who was that that came back from the dead?
Samuel,
he came
so
back.
So Saul goes to a medium. Mm-hmm. Which meant she had the ability to do it, because you see these mediums. We all assume they're all fake, but she wasn't fake. She actually brought him back.
But is this pre? Do you think that's what I was asking a while ago? Do you think pre Jesus becoming flesh had any effect on that?
Well,
because that's the argument,
right?
Now whether you believe that or not,
and I don't, and here's why: because the Holy Spirit wasn't available for everybody, like. Once Jesus came, but the Holy Spirit was still active. I mean, David got the Holy Spirit. There were people, God's people. The Spirit of God came into them, so the Spirit was around. Mm. He just wasn't available.
I've heard him say it came on them, you know, which I don't know, maybe semantics, but
right. Yeah. Well, the indwelling Holy Spirit is different than when we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit when they had all these gifts.
And we'll study that when we'll get there. I do think it's interesting. The other story that we haven't talked about is. When the guy was fearful with the army coming toward him, and he's like, God, open his eyes. And when he did, he saw the spiritual forces of good, angels and chariots.
Fire.
That's
2 Samuel 6. That's Elisha, which was Elijah's.
Good memory. Calvary. I think the biggest problem that we have is trying to understand, because you got to remember when Jesus was raised from the dead, which we just got through spending hours talking about this on previous podcasts, his body had become translucent, transparent, he was...
Transfigured.
Transfigured, whatever. There's not enough trans.
He was a shapeshifter.
Because it said the door was locked and he came in. Well, that only a spirit can do that. By my understanding of...
Or someone who had... power over dimensions that you could just be here and then be there.
So my point is...
Teleporter. He was a teleporter.
Yeah. My point is if we have the Holy Spirit and there's this rival spiritual forces of evil who are capable of some of these types of actions, I mean, I don't know, but it's like when a guy opened his eyes, it was there. Well, it was there before he opened his eyes. He just couldn't see it.
Right.
So I think a lot of this
Which was
stuff,
quite the scene, because he's looking out and the enemy has advanced on him and surrounded him. And all of a sudden, when God opens his some eyes to see this, brings this into focus, it was like Jay's described. Then all of a sudden, the hills come alive with all these beings and fiery chariots. And I mean, it's pretty incredible when you think about it.
It's a little scary when you think about the negative out to get you.
Yeah.
And then it's very encouraging.
And you think that they're there to protect
but
you.
But he did say, put on the full armor. He said, our battle's against spiritual. You better put you better get some armor. And look, they were all spiritual things.
Well, you said the right phrase, and we'll close with this. We don't really know, because we can sort of surmise, but we're physical. We're not in that realm. We're here. So we can only just kind of read and put things together. You won't know till you get there.
The being that's out there, he said, God will bring about in his, let's see, keep this commandment without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a promise Jesus is coming back. It's his 1 Timothy 6, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever.
It's a great
It's got to mean.
It's a great point, because it also tells you Satan is not immortal.
That's
He's
right.
a created being.
That's
so
right.
We're on the right side of this thing. So thanks for the question. I think it was Jeff. Really interesting, and it's fun to just kind of wonder.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.